And we're back with more Week in Geek. So, Andrew, if you don't mind actually reintroducing the Week in Geek for me.
Oh, really? You can't start until I ask you the question? Okay.
Yep. No, it's just habit.
It's important. All right.
I'm ready. Okay. Okay.
So, Dan, what about your Week in Geek?
As I mentioned last week, Logan came out on Friday.
It did.
And I saw it twice.
Okay, that's one more time than you said you were going to see it.
And we'll be right back.
We can geek over.
I will be perfectly honest. I'll probably see it at least one more time before it leaves theaters.
Is that so you can prepare your critical essay about how much you disliked it?
Right. No, so I can finally talk about it on the show. No, the show can. Because I liked it, but I'm not willing to go as far as a lot of reviewers and nerds, for lack of a better word, are going with it. I don't know if you've seen some of the response to it, but it's been very positive,
mm-hmm.
which is well-deserved. No doubt saying it's the best Wolverine movie. Some people saying it's the best X-Men movie. Some people saying it's the best, and I take mild umbrage with this terminology, but the best Marvel movie. Some people saying it's the best comic book movie ever. I'm not necessarily going to naysay any of those things, but I think dealing in hyperbole is a bit unnecessary for a couple of reasons. One, we don't need to have a best comic book movie ever, or best Marvel movie, or best X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it just came out. It being good is exciting enough. Let's let time figure out where this stands in the hierarchy of good comic book movies.
Well, and I guess it does make sense that there would be, given the fact that it was a reasonable or a good movie, that there would be some reaction because, and I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty certain that it is not typical.
Right.
Right. It's not a standard. And I think maybe that's important because, you know, the X-Men movies, although different than a standard comic book movie, there is a certain amount of, but it's an X-Men movie, right?
Right. And expectation.
Marvel movies tend to be like, it's a Marvel movie, where this is, based on my three viewings of the trailer,
right,
very different.
It's definitely not, in a sense, a lot like Deadpool before it, which is, in hindsight, a strange comparison. It is bucking trends. It's definitely not trying to fit into any pre-existing mold, aside from the fact that it's trying to not fit into a mold, right?
Right.
I'm glad I saw it twice before I came to talk about it, because I noticed one problem I have when it comes to watching, especially nerdy cinema, that I'm very excited to see. I tend to come out of my first viewing not upset, not let down, but just kind of a little underwhelmed.
You're expecting to have your socks rocked off,
right?
And they're rolled down a little bit.
Turns out it's a movie, you know.
It's not a spiritual experience.
Right. Right. I wanted to be surprised. Like, I think that's actually a good description. I wanted to be shocked. I wanted to be surprised. I wanted to be blown away. And what I got was a really good movie, right? Darn. But what sold me on it, even in the first viewing, reminded me of something that happened when I watched X-Men, the first X-Men for the first time back in 2000. What sold me on that first X-Men movie, I remember, like, again, going back 17 years at this point, which is fucked up to say. Being an X-Men fan, I was very excited. And comic book movies, aside from Blade, hadn't really caught fire yet. And so I had my healthy dose of skepticism, but also excitement, because it's X-Men, and that was my jam, right? As I've talked about endlessly on the show. And what sold me on that first movie was early on, before Sabretooth showed up, which again raised my doubts a bit. But there's a line of dialogue when Rogue is in the car with Wolverine, and she has seen him use his claws by this point. And she asks him, does it hurt when they come out? And he says simply, every time. And I'm like, okay, these fuckers get it, right? And that happened again with this movie. I was kind of skeptical because it's so divorced from any of the continuity, in quotes, of the X-Men movies, mm-hmm. so far, right? And so far removed from kind of what superhero movies are, there was a bit of skepticism going in there. But there's a line of dialogue that, and I guess, spoiler alert, I am actually going to do my best, and I think I'll successfully do so, stay away from any spoilers talking about this movie. But there is some dialogue towards the end where he's talking with Laura, the young girl. As the trailers have shown, she has claws as well, and they're talking about killing people. And she says she kills people because they hurt her. And Logan responds, well, that's the difference between you and me. I hurt people. I'm like, okay. This is actually trying to do something important with the character. And that actually gets to the heart of what this movie is all about. And what I'm really kind of, not surprised, but emboldened by the fact that people are warming to this movie. Especially Marvel movie fans, which I'll probably talk about at some point. Because Marvel movies, and I don't mean to be reductive at all, but especially with the interrelated continuity, how complex some of the mythology has gotten. Mm-hmm. A lot of those movies tend to be kind of about what happens in the movies and less about the characters. The characters, as long as they're bright and they pop and they're charming, then it tends to kind of go over well. There's probably some leeway here with maybe the Captain America movies. I think they get kind of deep into what makes Captain America tick. But they seem to be more about, like, is this fun? And does it fit into what Marvel's doing with the next step? This movie is kind of the complete opposite of that. The plot is super simple. They're going north.
They're going on a road trip.
Yeah, it's super simple. But the entire movie is about Logan, which makes the title quite apt, right? And every character in the movie, if you sit back and think about it, it's just a different lens or a different angle or a different challenge to what this character is. And so for me, and I'm sure I've said it on the show, but I know I've written about it, like, I am a character guy, not a plot guy, as a creative person. And I think with my appreciation of fiction. And so it was right in my wheelhouse. And in that sense, I really dug it because it gave us what people, what they wanted to do with maybe the last Wolverine movie called The Wolverine, which I'd say is about 70% good, or the 10% good that was X-Men Origins-Wolverine.
I think that's the one I saw.
On behalf of all X-Men fans, I'm sorry that you saw that one. I think for the first time of pretty much any of the X-Men movies, this is going to sound so horrible. Nothing bothered me. Mm-hmm. The problem with the X-Men movies, and I'm very forgiving with them, as we know. Even if the movie's super good, there tends to be like maybe one thing, even if it's small, that kind of just bugs me. I'm like, that was corny, that was cheap, or that was dumb. But this one, like, every choice that was made is pretty solid. It was very solid, actually. I don't have any problems with this movie whatsoever. And I'm like, I think part of the my first viewing is just kind of, I was waiting for them to make a bad decision. And it didn't happen. Which leads to why I think I was not disappointed, but sort of neutral on that first viewing, is that Logan is exactly what I expected. I was surprised by some things, but they weren't revelatory, because the script, which is really, really strong, set everything up very, very well. I think that only created a baseline for my second viewing, which was much more emotional, much more personal, and much more enjoyable in the long run.
So now this is one of the things. The people I know who've been seeing it have been saying very positive things about it as well.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the things that I find really puzzling is that, I mean, it feels like, maybe this is me being presumptive, but this feels like the end of the X-Men movie franchise. In so much that, like, they've done a bunch of movies, they've kind of, you know, they had one kind of flopping end, which was X-Men whatever the hell 3 was called.
The Last Stand?
Right. And then they kind of brought it back with First Class, and they did, you know, Days of Future Past to bring it all together. They did Apocalypse, which I guess was all right. But, everything I've been hearing, I haven't...
You're being polite.
I haven't seen it. That's why I say that.
Right. I thought you were saying you're being polite because of the company that you're in right now.
No. But it's the idea that, like, this movie, because it is kind of like, somewhat based off of Old Man Logan.
Right.
Which was kind of a shit's all gone south, you know, this is kind of like the end of X-Men. Mm-hmm. Although it was kind of like a one-off or a, you know, whatever, a grim future. It just, it seems to me that for being as good as it is, I had understood that this was going to kind of be like probably one of the last at-bats for like a quality X-Men film.
Hmm.
But then, you know, but just because like, what do they do next, right? Are they just going to recycle another? Are they going to reboot it? You know, but then the idea that like, but this one is so good that it's like, well, you know, they're going to want to. It'll do so well, both critically and financially, that Fox will be like, all right, let's turn the crank on the X-Men factory. Even though like, it's kind of like, but no, like you put a button on it, right?
Right. To that end, I think this movie is a punctuation mark. I just don't know what it is.
An interbang.
Interrobang? Yeah, maybe.
Interrobang. An interrobang.
But
interbang is something different. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Whether it's a period or comma or a semicolon, I'm not sure. I think what they have said is that it does kind of prove this interesting experimental formula where, hey, we broke open the door on this R rating thing with Deadpool. So if Logan succeeds, we are given leeway not necessarily to do more R-rated movies, but to do more experimentation, which I think they should do.
Right.
It has, I think, leaked or gone public that some of the cast from Apocalypse is coming back for the next X-Men movie. They are doing another X-Men movie. Some rumors are going around that a producer for all the X-Men movies, Simon Kinberg, is actually on board to direct the next X-Men movie. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back some of the cast because the person they hired to be Jean Grey is from Game of Thrones, and like this could be another chance where like the Jennifer Lawrence, you know, accident that they had where like, let's hire Jennifer Lawrence. She was great in Winter's Bone. Then she became fucking Katniss Everdeen. Like, oh shit, we need to make more X-Men movies, right? I'm sure they want to keep her on contract, for lack of a better word. And to be perfectly honest, for the young cast that they got for Apocalypse, for all its flaws, the young cast I thought was really, really strong. And I'd like to see them in more X-Men movies. But they need to take more chances with the X-Men movies. For lack of a better explanation, they need to probably get rid of Bryan Singer. Not because he's bad, but he's kind of becoming a tone. And that tone is 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And they have said that they're going to abandon the focus on Xavier and Magneto, which it's sad because it's so great, but it's probably what they need to do. There are plenty of other dynamics and angles on the mutant issue that they can take with these movies, and they should. Mm-hmm. They tried with Apocalypse, but it fell. The Apocalypse angle fell flat. And so if this gets them to look at the X-Men as an ensemble franchise with a new lens, then I'm all for it. Because it's clear they have people that care that are making these movies. Whether it's Deadpool, whether it's Wolverine, and whatever you want to say about Apocalypse, they're doing it with X-Men as well. And whatever choice they make, especially based on the success of something like Deadpool or Logan, if that gets them to push in a new direction, I'm all for it, and they should totally.
Well, and I guess one of the things that makes me wonder is, does this give credence to dropping the, I guess, like the cinematic universe concept?
Right. Right.
You know, this is because it's an interesting concept, right? DC is trying to flirt with one, and mm-hmm. their flirting is not going unnoticed. Where, you know, Marvel kind of has this thing kind of on lock, right? Like they've,
right.
Whether you like it or not, that's their thing. And so it does raise the question of like, well, okay, can the X-Men just be like, look, we now have like an understanding of what these characters are and where they fit. And now we can just have like a Deadpool movie that isn't connected.
Yeah.
And we can have a Logan, which isn't connected. We could do a whatever other one you want to do, you know? It's interesting because I think about it almost from like the, you know, because you talked about many, many episodes ago reading the one novel or the graphic novel that was...
Oh, God Loves, Man Kills?
Right. And the idea that that wasn't really part of any coherent narrative. And the idea that that could then become a thing where instead of having a coherent movie universe, you know, we just say like, hey, let's do an X-Men story that's all about... I don't know, who's a whatever, character that, yeah, whatever, right?
Well, especially with the X-Men, like, it can be about whatever social issue needs to be talked about, right?
Right, and it's to a certain extent, this kind of re-excites my fascination with things like Elseworlds on the DC side and whatever right. else, where, you know, it's maybe let's all just accept that Marvel has what Marvel has.
Yes.
And let's all stop trying to recreate it. hey, DC, that's to you. That's to you.
And to be fair, like, the X-Men movies have been shaking in continuity since, let me look back, X2.
Right. I mean,
where they recast characters without any explanation. They, you know, characters that were background figures are now all of a sudden different actors and front-facing figures in other movies. And, I mean, I like what they've been doing with the quote, the soft reboot that they did, but jumping every 10 years, like, these people should be much more aged than they were in the previous movie. Their handle on continuity is shaky, but they don't seem to care. And I think they just need to own it, like you were saying. It's like, no, this is a fucking... Okay, this is a movie that takes place in the 80s. Deal with it, right? Or this is a movie that takes place in the 90s. Or this is a movie that's doing this and it's doing that. And that's fine, right? It doesn't have to be Marvel.
Which is funny, given that it's X-Men, which is Marvel. But, you know...
Right. Well, that's an important distinction we need to draw, I think. That I'm willing to draw. It's that people saying that this is the best Marvel movie so far in their hyperbolic praise of it. Which I get my panties in a bunch because it's not a Marvel movie as we actually know it. It is, okay, yes, X-Men are owned by Marvel, but it's not a Marvel Studios movie.
Right.
Which is actually what we mean when we say that it's a Marvel movie. Because we think of those the Avengers continuity movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are Marvel movies. But this is different. This is Fox doing their own thing. And... What I hate is some of the praise that's coming for this movie. Like, people saying this makes up for all the shitty X-Men movies that came before. Or finally Fox makes a good movie. It just comes off as short-sighted and dumb. Right? Because the distance is easy to forget. And I've watched these recently, and yes, there's nostalgia going into it. But there's also just looking at it as a movie, which I think I can do to an extent. Because I watch a lot of comic book movies. But X-Men... X2, X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, I would say. Like, those are actually pretty good fucking movies.
Having seen First Class and Days of Future Past in the last couple of years, I enjoyed them. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of vitriol spewed about not only Apocalypse, but recently, with the release of this movie, a lot of people are coming out. I remember Days of Future Past being pretty universally praised, but now people are like, oh, that fuck-up that was Days of Future Past. I'm like, whoa, okay, this is new to me, but whatever. But because Apocalypse maybe was a hiccup, and with the stain that is X-Men 3 and X-Men Origins Wolverine, there seems to be this larger trend. It's like, well, all Fox movies belong in the same shit pile that is DC Warner. And I'm like, you guys need to paint with a finer brush here.
I don't know why it took me a while to process what you were referring to when you said the shit pile that is DC Warner. I don't know.
Right.
I guess I've never heard to it referred by name before.
But ultimately, yeah, they have missteps and not every movie's perfect, but the X movies have been doing more right than what DC has done so far, I would argue. And yet they want to lump these two things together because it's not Marvel. Like, that's the problem. It's the biggest complaint that I've heard about the X movies in the last 6 or 7 years is that they're not Marvel movies. And, like, that is, like you were saying, like, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's someone complaining about this show saying, like, I like the show, but I wish Dan sounded more like Andrew. I'm like, I'm not Andrew. I'll never be Andrew. I shouldn't try to be because he's amazing, right?
I actually would have said, I wish he sounded more like, you know, Adam Carolla. Like, well, we're not that, right?
Right? But where nostalgia and fanboyishness comes into play for me, it's that it's actually getting me to start resenting Marvel Studios movies. And I can't ignore that that's actually happening with me. I haven't seen Doctor Strange and kind of don't want to. Not because people are shitting on X-Men, but like, it's just another Marvel movie, and it's this weird sort of lens that I'm starting to look through. And I know it's stupid. I'm sure it's a
no.
Fine
it's
movie.
Not. It's not stupid. I mean, this is like, and that's not to take us into Marvel territory, but I mean, I think what Marvel is doing is they're saying, look, we're going to give you 3 or 4 movies every year,
mm-hmm.
and you can watch them all. But really, like, hey man, it's cool if you just find the one that you like. Because, like, so, like, I take that from the perspective of they're making, you know, 80% the same movie every time with 20% different flavoring.
There is a Marvel feel.
There is. And so the idea is that you don't have to see all of them. Like, I know Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is coming out, and I wasn't a big fan of the first one, so mm-hmm. I probably won't go see this one.
Right.
But a lot of my friends will. But it doesn't, you know, that's I guess, the idea that, like, you know what a Marvel movie is like, so you know what to expect. So it's like, I don't need to see that one. Like, where I'll probably go see Thor or whatever the hell it's called, simply because I want to see Mark Ruffalo be Bruce Banner and the Hulk. I mean, I like this this buddy cop movie they seem to be selling me on. Because suddenly it's like, it's going to be a Marvel movie, but now it's Thor and the Hulk is like a buddy cop thing.
Right, right.
But yeah, and that's where it's like X-Men, since they only did one every couple of years, it is, you know, they did good work. I think they were able to vary the narrative enough. I don't know. It's weird that it's so dismissive of what they do. Because really, if we're going to dismiss anyone, let's go dismiss DC.
Right, right. Because they actually make bad movies.
I actually feel guilty right now. Like, okay, I did like about 3 minutes of Batman Punch Superman.
No doubt. Like, I'm not... Yeah, no doubt. And yeah. I would say I liked even more of it, right? And Man of Steel has its moments, but whatever. And like I said, when I talked about it, Suicide Squad was fine. Doesn't hold a candle to, and again, I realize nostalgia and my own biases play into this, but doesn't hold a candle to, and I would rather watch any X-Men movie before I'd watch Suicide Squad again, you know?
It's good to know that Logan is, hopefully, I mean, I think between Deadpool and Logan, I hope that more people are willing to be brave, right? Or be experimental. I mean, because the one thing I would say, actually, to Marvel's defense, is, you know, a lot of people were kind of shaken a bit by Winter Soldier. Because it was a bit off, right? It wasn't...
Oh, sure.
It was still a Marvel movie, but, like, the part that was different was very different. Like, suddenly it was, you know, there was something there. Some people complained about Iron Man 3, which... I liked it because the idea is that they try to do something experimental within their Marvel.
It was a character focused movie, right? Of course, I liked it.
So hopefully, more of these people, you know, because one of the biggest complaints about Strange was that it was Iron Man but with a wizard, right?
Right, right.
So like that's why, like, hopefully we'll see more doing different stuff. Like I have high hopes for Black Panther, but we'll see that when it comes out.
Going back to Logan real quick.
Which we should, because that's the focus.
Right. The nice thing about it is that, kind of going, speaking to what we were talking about earlier, you don't need to see any other movie to watch this movie. It stands alone. You could arguably make it a not Wolverine movie, and it'd probably be a fine movie. It's just this weird kind of near future science fiction road movie, and it'd be fine. The only reference they make to another movie is X-Men 1, and it's not like you have to see it to get it. But my experience was kind of summed up this way. When I first left the theater in my first viewing, I was a little upset because even though this was a really good movie, it was so divorced from the comics and from even the whatever you want to call the continuity that is the X films, that I kind of lamented that we won't be getting a quote-unquote proper Wolverine in his prime movie from Hugh Jackman. Because I think he's really good as Wolverine. But then... especially on the second viewing, I kind of thought about it and realized that this is a proper Wolverine movie, because to do a good Wolverine movie, kind of linking back to what I talked about last week with those comics and how they're so different and not X-Men-y, they did what they had to do. They made a very not X-Men movie with this movie. And it's truly all about the character rather than about some larger issue, rather than being about social issues, which is what the X-Men are all about, and focus completely on this complexity, this anger, this rage, this sadness that is Wolverine. And so therefore we got the most proper Wolverine movie that we could possibly get. As a fan of the character, especially, you know, as the teenager that had anger issues, that and as an adult that has anger issues, I'm glad that it exists. I'm glad that it's good, and I'm glad that it's like, people have been comparing it to The Dark Knight, which is weird, but the connection is that it seems to be a superhero movie that is appealing to a much wider base than people that just like Marvel movies or just like comic book movies. It's a good exercise in what is anger and what is love and what is family. So if it reaches a wider audience because of that, that's awesome. And I'm happy that it's a Marvel property, and more specifically, more happy that it's an X-Men property. It's good times. It's grimdark. And what they do with Professor X is really good. What they do with Wolverine is really, really good. And I really I was super skeptical because of X-23, right? Laura, the young girl, because she kind of has a Harley Quinn birth. She was created for an animated X-Men show and then made her way to the comics. And I'm like, I don't know about this bullshit. This is post Wolverine having bone claws bullshit. So I'd already kind of been skeptical, but she was, she was great. She was great. The character's great, and it totally fit in. And it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. And I guess I should say, if you are familiar with the Mark Millar, Steve McNiven, Old Man Logan miniseries, and you're like, oh, this is an adaptation. One, you should know by now, Fox doesn't do adaptations. And two, just don't. It's not Old Man Logan in the least. Except Logan's an old man. So, and we'll be right back.
After this.
Snicked.
Bub. Oh, yeah, I should probably clap before I grab my beverage. 3, 2, 1. Shattered glass and spilling everywhere.
Right. For some reason, FaceTime just blips out like an old CRT monitor.